ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. Let us read the first three verses. Arjuna uvacha kim tad brahma kim adhyatmam kim karma purushottama adibhutam cha kim proktam अधियज्ञम् किमुच्यते. अधिदैवम् किमुच्यते. अधियज्ञः कथम् कोत्र. देहेऽस्मिन् मधुसूदन प्रयाणकाले च कथम् ज्ञेयोऽसि नियतात्मभिः. श्रीभगवानुवाच अक्षरम् ब्रह्म परमम् स्वभावोऽध्यात्ममुच्यते भूतभावोद्भवकरः विसर्गः कर्मसंज्ञितः. अक्षरम् ब्रह्म परमम्. अर्जुन, ब्रह्म इज अक्षरम् एंड परमम्. ब्रह्म इज लिमिटलेस एंड इज इम्पेरिशबल, इम्यूटेबल. ब्रह्म ऑल्सो मीन्स दैट विच इज द सबस्टेट ऑफ द होल यूनिवर्स एंड दस द That which sustains all that is changing and perishable itself is unchanging, imperishable. Svabhava dhyatma mucchate, and one's own nature, that very same Brahman, manifests as my own nature, my own self in this body. It is said in this body. I mean, you know, it's not that Brahman or the self is in this body. But this is how, whenever we refer to self, we always refer to ourselves as in this body. That kind of notion we have on account of identification of the body and identification with our subtle body of the mind. Therefore, we feel that the consciousness is within. And then we say that the self is within in a tentative way. But in reality, self or Brahman is not confined to within or without. It is beyond the idea of within and without. But then, still, where would you look for Brahman? Look at your own self. Within yourself you can say that. Where within means to the very subtlest or the most fundamental aspect of yourself. Therefore within the body there are sense organs, and within that there is a mind, within that there is intellect. In that sense, by within we mean the subtler. So subtler than the gross body are the sense organs. Subtler than sense organs is the mind. Subtler than mind is the intellect. As Lord Krishna says, Indriyani paranyahu indriyabhyah parammanah manasastu parabuddhihi yo buddhehe paratastu saha. Lord Krishna said that subtler than the body are the sense organs. Subtler than sense organs or their witness is the mind. Subtler than mind is the intellect, and one who is the witness of the intellect. So that's why you say inner, in that sense. So therefore, what is inner is subtler, is more controlling, is more real. And so the innermost principle, the subtlest principle, that which is the witness of everything, illuminate of everything, is the self or the consciousness. And when you analyze what the nature of that consciousness is, it turns out to be Brahman or imperishable. भूत भावोद्भवकर है विसर्ग है कर्म संगित है हे अर्जुन इट इज यज्ञ और फ्रॉम द प्रिंसिपल ऑफ सेल्फ ऑफरिंग दैट दिस यूनिवर्स इज बॉर्न एंड देयरफॉर इन द थर्ड चैप्टर लॉर्ड कृष्णा पॉइंटेड ऑल्सो एज टू हाउ दैट यज्ञ और द प्रिंसिपल ऑफ सेल्फ ऑफरिंग इज ऑल परवेरिंग वेर एवर वी लुक इन द नेचर वी फाइंड एवरी एलिमेंट ऑफरिंग इटसेल्फ एंड दस that yajna is a principle, is all pervasive, that shows that the universe is a product of yajna, it is sustained by yajna also, so that yajna is called karma, which is responsible for the creation of all the beings. And then, going to the fourth verse, now, Lord Krishna says further, अधिभूतं क्षरो भावः पुरुषश्चाधिदैवतम् अधियज्ञोऽहमेवात्र देहे देहभृतां वर अधिभूतम क्षरो भाव है नेक्स्ट क्वेश्चन वॉज अधिभूतम च किम प्रोक्तम लॉर्ड व्हाट इज कॉल्ड अधिभूतम भूतम मीन्स एलिमेंट अधिभूतम दैट इज ऑब्टेन्स एट द लेवल ऑफ एलिमेंट सो अधिभूतम क्षरो भाव है लॉर्ड कृष्णा सेज दैट व्हाट एवर इज दैट इज क्षर और पेरिशेबल और चेंजिंग इज अधिभूतम So Lord Krishna says, I am myself manifest as the elemental creation also. I am Param Brahma, that which transcends everything and sustains everything. I am Adhyatma, I alone obtain as the self of all the beings. I am the very karma. I am the yajna or the karma, which is responsible for the creation of the beings, as well as which sustains the whole universe also. This was explained in the third chapter how Yajna sustains the universe also. So as Yajna also I am. So the Swamiji says that Ishvara alone is manifest as the very order. The very order that sustains the whole universe. If you ask a question, what is the nature of that order? It will turn out to be nothing but Yajna. That order which sustains the whole universe is nothing but Yajna. Or the principle of self-offering. Because everything in nature functions in the principle of self-offering. Sun also offers itself and illumines the world, serves the world, so does the moon, so does the earth, so does the water, fire, air. Everything is nothing but offering itself, serving the universe. So in that sense, Lord Krishna says, I am that yajna. Now, adhibhutam, my kshara-bhava, my perishable expression, my changing expression is in the form of this elemental world. So, the world made of five elements also is nothing but my manifestation, which is kshara-bhava, which is my perishable or changing expression. Meaning that this is how we are supposed to recognize God. In the universe also recognize God as a very order, which is yajna, and that is the manifestation of Ishvara. And the elemental world also, which is changing, that is also the manifestation of Ishvara. In the 15th chapter also Lord Krishna says, that kshara-cha kshara-eva-cha, kshara, what is perishable also is myself, akshara the cause also I am, and the one that transcends also I am. So adhibhutam kshara bhavah. Kshara-ti iti kshara. So that is vinashi. Perishable is called kshara. So perishable, the elemental world also I am. Purushascha adhidaivatam. You see, and the principle is that this elemental world that we see is all controlled by the devatas. So idea is that devatas are nothing but the again manifestation of Ishvara. As various presiding principles, and they control the various aspects of the universe. Like Surya or Sun is a Devata, which is the principle of flight, and that illumines that whole universe. Earth also is a Devata or a deity which sustains the whole universe. Water also is a deity that is responsible for the life and sustenance of all. That's all they call Devatas. So, Purusha means Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is the totality of all the Devatas. Lord Krishna says, I am Hiranyagarbha. I am Saguna Brahma. All Devatas are nothing but my expressions or my limbs. So it is said that Sun is the eyes of Ishvara. Moon is the mind of Ishvara. Earth are the feet of Ishvara. Air is the breath of Ishvara. Quarters are the ears of Ishvara. And thus, these Devatas are nothing but the different limbs or manifestation of Ishvara. That Purusha Hiranyagarbha also I am. Adiyagnyohamevatra dehe dehe vrutamvara. Adiyagnya, the principle that presides over the yajnas, that also I am. The Veda says, yajna vai Vishnu. Yajna is nothing but Vishnu. Lord Krishna says, I am that Vishnu that presides over the yajnas or sacrifices. Deha Vrutamvara. Arjuna is addressed here as Deha Vrutamvara, as the most exalted among those who are the embodied ones. Deha Vrut. So the embodied ones, the most exalted among the embodied ones. Hey Arjuna, the most exalted among a man, or among all the living beings, Arjuna is addressed here by Lord Krishna as Vara, the exalted among all the beings. So Lord Krishna gives him the certificates, you know, every so often. Hey Anaga, O sinless one. Hey Anasuyu, also, the one who is free from asuya, one who is simple-minded, one who has no angularities, one who is very honest, and one who respects everybody, does not find fault where there is a virtue, one who is free from any jealousies. From different places, Lord Krishna addresses Arjuna by all these different names. This is very beautiful. That shows not only the affection and love that Lord Krishna has for Arjuna, but the respect also that Lord Krishna has for Arjuna. Here, Arjuna is addressed as the one who is the most exalted among all the human beings or among all living beings. Because Arjuna is so blessed that every moment he is conversing with Lord himself. Who can be more fortunate than the one who can converse with Lord? And in that sense, Arjuna is most fortunate and is also... That fortune cannot be unless he is really an exalted being. And thus, the first six questions are answered. And the seventh question is, how do the yogis, at the end, at the time of death also, how do they abide in you? The rest of the chapter is now for answering the seventh question. The seventh question now, the Lord Krishna essentially devotes the rest of the chapter in answering the seventh question. How do the yogis at the time of death also abide in Ishvara? Or how one can abide in Ishvara at the time of death? So from the fifth verse now, Lord Krishna says, antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yah prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshayah. Antakalecha, and at the time of death also, mameva smaran, remembering me alone. At the time of death, the one who remembers me, muktva kalevaram, while departing from this body, so while leaving this body, At the time of death, the one who remembers me alone, mameva. Yaf prayati, one who departs, saha madbhavam yati. Lord Krishna says that he attains my nature, my being, my state, meaning that he comes to me, he becomes one with me. The one who departs from this body at the time of death, remembering me, comes to me. Nastyatra samshaya, there is no samshaya, no doubt about that, that you will come to me, you will become me if you depart this body, while departing the body, if you remember me. This is the specific case Lord Krishna said. The general case Lord Krishna says in the next verse. So, Lord Krishna says, meaning that this rule applies not only to remembering me, it applies to remembering anything. So the general rule is being stated in the sixth verse. So let us read that.
Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajatyante kalevaram tam tame vaiti kaunteya sadatad bhava bhavitah.
Yam yam vapi, or remembering whatever thing, tyajati ante kalevaram, one leaves his body at the time of death remembering whatever thing. Tam tameva iti kaunteya, it is that thing that you remember is what you become after the death. So, number one, that the existence continues after the death, that's important to recognize that. Existence continues after the death. Death is not the termination of existence. Death is merely termination of existing in a given embodiment. But it is not the termination of existence as such. That is the continuity of life. So life does not get terminated. Life continues. It just changes the embodiment, that's all. From one embodiment to the other embodiment, the life continues to exist. And what is responsible for the life being in this embodiment is the particular kind of karma or the various actions that we may have performed in the past, which is what brings about the creation of this body. So this body is the creation of the karma or the actions which we have performed in the past, births, which are given rise to creation of this body, and our association with this body continues as long as that prarabdha karma is. So the karma, there is a whole store of actions that we have, of that a particular part is responsible for giving rise to this body. That's called prarabdha karma, also called destiny. And it is because of destiny or prarabdha karma that we have a given kind of a body, a given kind of a parentage. We are born and in with certain parents, a certain place, certain conditions. During life also, we keep on encountering certain kind of conditions. All of these is, you can say, generally speaking, determined by our past karma. Generally, not absolutely, because in our life, we have also what we call free will. Meaning that by performing our deliberate actions, we keep on also creating new destiny. So we have brought some destiny and we continue to influence it by our choices. We have been given a free will and therefore we have the freedom of choice. So we should not think that our life is totally governed by destiny. That destiny has a major role to play in our life. At the same time, our self-effort or the deliberate action that we perform, which are the result of the choices that we make, also have an important bearing in our life. That is why astrology cannot predict everything perfectly. Astrology can predict well the destiny, if at all, you know, yes. But then, along with destiny, we also have free will. How the free will? Of course, astrology will claim that they will predict the free will also. Sometimes they don't even believe in free will. Some people believe that free will also is determined by only your destiny. Swami, why do you make a certain choice? Why did this person make some other choice? And why does everybody make the choices? Because they are so directed by destiny. But we do not accept that destiny governs our life. We have the freedom, and therefore, with free will, we create. That's what Lord Krishna means to say here also. The reason why we are talking about this is because all of this discussion has a bearing in the verse that we are discussing. Therefore, the deliberate choices that we make have a definite influence upon even our destiny also. Just as there is the flow, the river is flowing. You have a small little boat, and boat is generally swept along the current of the river. But with the boat you have some freedom. Either you may have a little motor in there, or you may have a sail, or you may be able to row the boat. Some effort you make, and therefore you can bring about a change of course. If you are smart enough, you will use the very flow of the water in such a manner as to reach your destination. If you're not very smart, you may go, you know, opposite the current, or you may go in different ways. It's possible that you may get lost, or you may get turned over, and all kinds of things. But a smart person will use the very current of the river to reach the destination. So also a smart, or what we call living intelligently, is to use the very flow of destiny and make appropriate choices to negotiate your life so that you can reach your destination. But in any case, there are both these forces, what we call destiny, as well as the free will. If there was no such thing as free will, then all these study and teaching would have been meaningless. If we had no choice in our life at all, if our life was completely determined, then we have nothing to do, then we have no responsibility also. Whoever has determined our life has the responsibility. That is why among buffaloes and cows there are no classes. There are no Gita discussions or nothing like that, because they don't have any responsibility at all. They are totally programmed, and therefore their life is determined. Swami, how do you know asbestos? I don't know, you know. How do you know about buffalo? And sometimes they ask this kind of question. I said, I don't know. But that's what from observation it looks. Vedas also say that other than human beings, everybody is only aware of their hunger and thirst and their need of the sense gratification. That's all they're aware of. Whereas in human being, the consciousness as found is most exalted expression. And therefore, he has the wisdom, he also has the insight, he also has the knowledge. And how do you know that he has that knowledge or wisdom? Because he is able to try, he is able to express what he knows. He is able to predict what will happen tomorrow. He has ambitions. And what ambition he has, he wants to be immortal. Through the mortal body that he has, he wants to be immortal. All of this shows that the intelligence has found its best expression in a human being. And so, in short, we are responsible for our life. That's all it means. What all of this means is that we cannot simply say that it is destiny that is governing my life, and therefore, Swami, what can I do? It's my destiny. But we are responsible for our life because we are given the free will. Now, what does this free will and what these choices have to do with our life? As we said, with every choice that we make, we are in a way building our own destiny. So the sixth verse, Lord Krishna used the expression sada tad bhava bhavitah. Lord Krishna says, with whatever thought a person departs from this body at the time of death, that is what determines the destiny. Ya ante matihi sa gatihi. Whatever is the mati or whatever is the thought at the end, and this is what determines our destiny. In short, our destiny is determined by what our last thought is. But Swamiji, what will decide the last thought? And therefore, very often people think that why worry about it? Let us worry about it at the end. At the end I will chant Narayana, Narayana. That's what happened to some stories are also being told. There is story of this Ajamil in Srimad Bhagavatam. Story of this person, Ajamila. It is said that as a young man he was very religious. But then he got distracted and then he became a miserable fellow and living a very sinful life. And he had some illegitimate children or whatever. Then he was his child Narayana was very attached to, and he was dying and at the time of death. The only thing he remembered was his son, Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. He's calling Narayana. He's calling his son. And Lord Narayana got confused, not confused, but he got deluded. He got cheated, really. He said, hey, he's calling me. And the attendants told him, no sir, Lord is not calling you, he's calling his son. So what son? Narayana is my name, nobody else's name is my name. His son is now born. I am there eternally, and therefore it is my name. He is calling me. Go and bring him here. That's how Ajamil, on account of uttering Narayana at the time of death, got the grace of Ishvara. And so in India everybody is planning that way, and it is good also. That is why when a person falls sick, we keep uttering the name of God, and then sometimes we loudly chant also, so that the person may hear. And hopefully, you know, that will be his thought at the time of departure. But it is very, we do not have freedom to decide what thought we will have at the time of death, really. We don't have the freedom. Just as we do not have freedom to decide what our dream will be. We may write on our pillows sweet dreams that we write, and we hope the dreams will be sweet. But there is no way of guaranteeing that the dream is going to be sweet, because we don't know what the dream will be. In a way, we decide what the dream will be, but not at the time of dream. In a way, we are responsible for our dreams, but then, and not at the time of dream. At the time of dream, at that time, whatever thought occurs in my mind, that is what will decide what the dream is. Kamam kamam purusham manyamanah. As the thoughts arise, so the dream gets created. What thought arises? Whatever is the most predominant thought. So during the life that I lived in the waking hours, then whatever kind of experiences, what impressions I gather in my mind, of those impressions, whatever are the strongest impressions, they will in fact register themselves in my mind and they will decide what the dream is going to be. And so every experience that we get or every action that we perform, it does leave an impression in our mind. And so the strong impressions then, they determine what the dream is going to be. They will automatically present themselves before my mind, and they will determine what the dream is going to be. And similarly also, what will be the thought at the end of the life? Whatever are the most predominant thought. See, after all, a businessman may carry out hundreds of transactions during the year, but what matters at the end of the year is the bottom line. There is profit and loss and income and loss and all that goes on for the whole year. Similarly also, for the whole life, the ultimate bottom line. So Lord Krishna says, sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever a person is engrossed with during the life, so during life, whatever it is I am engrossed with, that becomes the strongest thought in my mind. Because whatever we think again and again, that becomes stronger and stronger. It is the nature of the mind that when we repeat a given thought, that thought becomes stronger, and then it has a tendency to occur. We know, for example, that when we do some japa, or when we repeat some line, it may be some kind of a kirtan, or some bhajan, or some name, or some mantra, and then all of a sudden it pops up in our mind. It pops up without our effort. It is the nature of mind that whatever is repeated habitually will pop up. So this is during the day. That is why they tell us, Swami, what's the best time to do meditation? Morning is the best time. What's the best time to do japa? Morning. First thing in the morning. Because whatever we planned in our mind, it is likely to pop up during the day. And that's what we hope, that whatever we recite in the morning, it keeps on popping up during the day. So the day also gets filled with the same kind of thought, the same kind of mantra. Particularly when you become free, when you are busy with some work, that time there may be thoughts relating to that. But in between, when there is a little time or leisure, that thought will pop up. Sometimes you hear some line in the morning, you know. Suppose you hear some song or some kirtan, some dhun, something in the morning, whole day it goes on. So that's the nature of mind. That is why you want to use that nature. And you want to plant in the mind something desirable, then that will pop up. If some miserable thing also you hear or think of in the morning, that also will keep on popping up also. So that's the whole purpose of prayer and meditation, that we deliberately want to plant desirable thought train, not just a thought, but a train of thought. What is meant by meditation is a train of thought. Sajatya vritti pravaha, a flow or a train of thought of the same kind. That is what we want to plant in our mind deliberately. So that mind's habit being what it is, the same thought will repeat. If that train of thought has become strong enough in the morning, then it's most likely that whenever an opportunity comes, the very same train of thought will pop up in our mind. And we want ultimately that our mind should be constantly pervaded by the very same thought. That is the purpose of meditation or purpose of prayer, is to create deliberately a thought train in our mind. In meditation or prayer, we do it deliberately. Swami, how long should I do this? How long should I meditate? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes? The magic number is 20 minutes. I think Maharishi Mahesh Yogi made it popular. 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening. It must come from the medical field, you know. They say that treadmill. So how long should you walk on a treadmill? 20 minutes 3 times a week. 20 minutes looks like a magic number. But anyway, 20 minutes 3 times a week. So that's all, but I should say as many minutes as you require for that to pop up, that's all. For that to become really a habit in the mind, we want to create a new habit. Because mind is a habit to think anyway, and if you do not pay attention, it's sort of all garbage, you'll keep on thinking. All kinds of things you'll keep on thinking. If you do not take control of ourselves, then mind will like a bee, you know, it just keeps on, like a flyer, it keeps on flying one place to the other. But then, we want our mind to be like a honeybee. It only goes to honey, it doesn't go anywhere else. Otherwise, a bee will go any place. A fly will go anywhere, but then this... So similarly, we want to plant a train of thought, either by way of name, a mantra or something, plant so that during the day also it remains. Ideally, we want it to pervade the whole day, whole life. Sada tadbha bhavitaha. So whatever a person is engrossed with, whatever has been most valuable in our life, whatever that we have been pursuing in our life, that is why what we do is important. What we do now becomes important. Swami, why worry about it? This was a long time to go. After we read the Bhagavad Gita, you study after you retire. What's the big deal? Why right now? But then, is Lord Krishna, sadatadbhava, whatever we have been engrossed with all the time. So, tam tamet sadatadbhava, that is what determines what the last thought is going to be. At the time of death, we have no freedom to determine what the thought will be. And therefore, don't worry about the death. Too much importance is given. Of course, importance may as well be given, but then, sometimes importance, so much importance is given to death, that not adequate importance is given to living. Lord Krishna is talking about death, not so much for death, but to tell us how we should live our life, because nobody has control over death. And we should not judge a person based, we judge the person based on that, what kind of, whether it is a sinner or is a saint, or when did he die. The Lord Krishna also will tell subsequently, whether you die in the Uttarayana or Dakshinayana, whether in the Krishna Paksha or Shukla Paksha, during the day or the night and whatever. Which is good. But suppose somebody very near and dear, Swami, this person died only in Dakshinayana and only Krishna Paksha and at night. Don't worry. We need not judge a person based on those kind of things. What is important is how the person lived, not so much as to how the person died. Because dying is determined by various factors. And you may die at a given time, but before that a person may become unconscious also. And so, therefore, here our Abhinav Guptacharya very clearly says, don't worry about death. Worry about how you live. And because at the time of death, the person is unconscious sometimes for a long time also. And you don't know what's going on in the mind, whether anything is going on. I don't know what's happening in unconscious mind, etc. So what is sada tad bhava bhavitaha? Whatever thought a person is engrossed in, sada at all the times, that is what determines what the last thought will be. But Swamiji, my mind keeps things keep on changing. There's nothing steady. Every day is different. As Lord Krishna said in the second chapter, Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana bahushakha hirantasya buddhaya avyavasayinam. When this kind of conviction takes place in our life, when the conviction about our goal or object takes place in our life, and that conviction should be such that it should remain steady or unchanging. So Lord Krishna says that only when a person recognizes that moksha is the goal of my life, then alone that conviction remains unchanging. If anything else is considered the goal of life, it is bound to change. Because basically, as we said in the earlier class, that what a human being is searching for is infallible. Infallible has to be, means most reliable, trustworthy. That has to be limitless. Anything limited cannot be trustworthy because it will change. And therefore, what I am searching for is infallible. What I am searching for is the limitless. What I am searching for is the complete or whole. That I want to be limitless, whole or complete being, which is called moksha. This, the extent to which this becomes clear in our life, and what deprives me of moksha is ignorance, nothing else. Swabhava, because that very infallible being of the Lord is my own self, and what deprives me is ignorance. And therefore, what has to go is ignorance, and knowledge is a means of dispelling ignorance. Therefore, most important thing in my life is knowledge. So first, most important is moksha. Most important is me, of course, you know. And then what I want, recognizing that what I want is moksha. That is the desire behind all the desires. And what separates me from moksha? Only ignorance separates me. Because moksha is my own nature. How do you then remove ignorance? By knowledge. So knowledge becomes most important. How can knowledge come? Knowledge comes by shravanam, mananam, by listening to scriptures, by study, etc., and contemplation. Along with that also, we require the antahakan shuddhi or purification of mind. So these two things go together. On one hand, the purification of our mind, and second hand, exposing ourselves to teaching. Both these things should go together. Swami, right now working on purification of mind. How you are not coming to classes? I'm working on purification of mind. You can work on both of them together. Work both on studying these, listening and studying also, at the same time, purification also. A value for samadhi shatka sampatti. Shama, dama, uparama, titiksha. Shama is the tranquility of mind. Dama is the control over the self. Titiksha is the forbearance. So, these are important things. Vairagya, freedom from raga-dvesha is very, very important. That is called the antahakarana shuddhi. So, these become the value for me. If these convictions are developed, then my mind will not go in million directions. Bahushaka hirantasya buddhaya avyavasayanam. Where this basic conviction is not there, then mind keeps on changing and going to all different routes and winds up nowhere. It is like digging. What do you want? Water. He dug for 15 feet. Water did not come. Please another place. Did not come. Another place. Nowhere. Keep going and going and going until you get water, that's all. Similarly also, what is most important in life is vyavasayatmika buddhi, or the basic conviction in life. Then whatever I do should become the means of reaching that goal, that's all. Whether one is a householder, doesn't matter where. That is one good thing about Vedanta, Vedantic teaching. You don't have to be a renunciate, you don't have to be something else. You remain what you are and where you are and make your life a process of reaching moksha. Make your life a process of self-purification. Make the life a process of self-offering. So when our life becomes yajna or self-offering, it becomes a means of antahakarana shuddhi or purification of mind. And so it doesn't matter what a person does. What matters is that whatever is done as an offering. What we do is not important, how we do. All of these, this clarity when it comes. Sada tad bhava bhavitah. When a mind is engrossed all the time in a given thing. The mind can be engrossed all the time provided it is a goal that remains the same. Any limited goal you attain and you find that it's not adequate, then it changes, you find not adequate, that person goes from one end to the other end, it's endless. So sadātad bhava bhavitaḥ, whatever it is that a person is absorbed in or engrossed with, that is what becomes the last thought. And of course there are many stories of this rich man, he's dying, you know, and then so his people around tell him now, Shaitji, please remember now God. He said, no, I can only remember all those. His whole life is spent in the cloth. He was a cloth merchant. So, measuring cloth, and that's all I can remember, you know. Whatever a person has done for the whole life. It is not that. That's just a joke, actually. But the thing is, but the point is, it's not what you're doing that you'll remember. It is what is your attitude in doing that. That's what you'll remember. Otherwise, Swami, I will only remember cooking because that's what I've done for the whole life. It's not that. But cooking is for what purpose? I've done cooking for what purpose? With what kind of a noble attitude did I do that? You can cook and Ishwar, for Ishwara you are cooking. You can say that, you know. Because when Shabari was cleaning the path, she said, I'm doing it for Lord Rama. So everybody is a sweeper. But a sweeper also can be a servant of God. A cook also can be a servant of God. Each one of us can be a servant of God, and therefore, whatever we do becomes an offering to Him. So it's not what we do, it is the kind of intentions that we entertain kind of devotion that we entertain, kind of commitment or kind of values that we entertain. So, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram. Lord Krishna says that whatever bhava, whatever thought, with that, a person departs from this body, tam tamevaiti, that is what he winds up with. Therefore, going back to the previous verse, antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. If then, one, that verse should have come after this actually, but anyway, it has come before. Antakale cha mameva, the time of antakale, time of death, one mameva, remembering me alone, one who departs from his body, he comes to me, there is no doubt about that. So what should we do then? So Lord Krishna says, seventh verse, Lord Krishna says that, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyacha mayyar pitamano buddhi mame vaishyasya samshayah. Tasmat devar sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara. Hey Arjuna, therefore, at all the times, remember me. Swami, if I remember you, Lord, then who is going to cook my food? Who will go to the laboratory? Who will go to my place of work? Who will do these kind of things? Lord Krishna said that if you can remember me, you need not do anything. Mam anusmara. If you can remember me, tasva sarveshu kaleshu. Although, sarva kala, sarva kala, plural is used, sarveshu kaleshu, all right, all the times, different kind of times may be there, good times, bad times, happy times, unhappy times. How come the time is in plural here? So maybe at different kinds of times may be there. Happy times are there, unhappy times are there, whatever. Sarveshu kaleshu. At all the times, ma manusmara, remember me. What is meant is that if you can remember Ishvara all the time, you need not do anything. You can give up all your duties, give up everything and remember him. But don't plan to remember after giving up. Swami, okay, you told me I have given up everything, except I can't remember him now. That's not the point. Because it is tough. It's not easy to remember him. People retire. Swamiji, I am tired of this work, I am going to retire. But after retire, then what do? It becomes more difficult than working actually. Because our mind wants some activity. Our mind not only wants activity, our mind always wants gratification. It wants to be pleased. It wants to be happy, not just want to be. And therefore, if you cannot make your mind happy, so while we are working, that we are so stressed out that whenever there is a vacation, we feel so good, so why not have a permanent vacation? It goes all right for a few weeks, but later on then, you don't know what to do. So it is not easy to give up things. It is not easy to retire unless we have prepared for retirement while we are working. Meaning that we have learned to retire while working. As Swamiji says, that it is not freedom from work, but it is freedom in work, you know. And so, if we have been able to cultivate the freedom of mind while doing things, then you will be able to retire. So here also Lord Krishna says, therefore, yudhyacha, and also perform your duty. In case of Arjuna, yudhya means fight. But in our case, perform the duty. So you remember me and perform duty if necessary. Yudhya cha. That chakara makes it gauna, makes it secondary. Ma manusmara is primary. Yudhya cha, if necessary, then perform your duty. So how, when would it be possible to remember Ishvara and remember him all the time? The extent to which we enjoy the purification of mind, to that extent it becomes possible to remember Ishvara. Remembering Ishvara is possible only in a sattvic mind. When the mind is as rajoguna, then it can only think of sense gratification. Rajoguna means mind always will think when the next meal is going to come, what the next movie is going to be, what the next show is going to be, and stuff like that. That's what the rajas is. When mind is tamoguna, when I stop, when will I finish this and then go to sleep, you know. And so, tamoguna has more love for sleep and for not doing anything. Rajoguna has love for doing things but for gratification. The person with rajoguna, the mind with rajas, is very active. Lobha, pravrittirarambha, karmanam, asamaspruha. And so, craving one after the keep on arising. Greed, not satisfied with what we have. This is the character of rajoguna. And when that is there, it is difficult to remember Ishvara. That rajoguna mind only will remember its pleasures, its gratifications, its money, its ego gratification. That will remember. Meaning that we have to acquire a mind which is fit for remembering Ishvara, which is what? Sattvic mind. That alone is called Suddhantahakarana. Or pure mind. What is meant by antahakarana shuddhi or purification of mind is that making the mind free from rajas and tamas, raga and dvesha, meaning the main making the mind sattvic. So Lord Krishna says that if you find that you still need antahakarana shuddhi or purification of mind, then yudhyacha, then definitely perform your duty. Meaning, do not give up your duties until you gain the purification of mind. So what's the retirement age? Retirement age can be anything. Whenever the mind has become free from raga-dveshas, then we are ready to retire. Unless we are made to retire, then it's a different matter. Because they will make us retire whether we like it or not. But then, if we have a choice, perform the duty until the mind becomes free from raga-dvesha. But then, there is a way of performing our duty so that the performance of duty becomes a means of getting rid of raga-dvesha. Otherwise, what is happening normally is that very vyavahara is adding raga-dveshas. Swamiji, this is very, you know, working in the world and working in the working place, and all this vyavahara is a big headache, big stress. Tomorrow this fellow is coming, tomorrow this is happening, everything is very stressful. So vyavahara, if it is not done properly, will add to raga-dvesha, which is usually the case. That's called samsara. In what we call people with samsara, meaning those who have material goals, those people who are working for ego gratification, or those who are working for sense gratification, that work will only add to raga-dveshas. And therefore, the duty will be able to get rid of raga-dveshas when the duty is performed not for my ego gratification. My actions are performed not as a means of some personal gain. Otherwise, they will only be conducive to increasing raga-dveshas. Because then there will be disappointment if I do not get what I wanted. And there will be exhilaration or elation if I get what I want. Both ways, raga and dveshas will be added. So, sarveshu kaleshu ma manusmara yudhyata. Here Arjuna, even while performing duties also, remember me. So, just as we have that mala for remembering Ishvara, you know. Why do we have this mala? So, when the mind keeps on wandering, the mala reminds, okay, I start Om Namah Shivaya. Then again it is Shiva and Shivaram and somewhere it goes. And if you have so trained our fingers, then when the mantra stops, finger also will stop. Counting should stop. If counting goes on like that, and mind, then of course there is no point. Mind is on its own track, this fellow is on its own track, so mala is over. That is another thing. Suppose we so train our with coordination, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, then it will work out well. Then this will stop. When Om Namah Shivaya stops, this also will stop. That's a reminder that Om Namah Shivaya stop. Of course, mala is there for counting, so that five malas, okay, let us, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, okay. But just as counting the bead is a reminder for remembering God's name, so also every action can become a reminder. Mamanusmara. So while let performance of a duty become a means of remembering me. Let every action that I perform become a occasion for remembering Ishvara. Of course, that requires learning Bhagavad Gita as to how Ishvara is involved in what we are doing. As 7th chapter Lord Krishna said, how we are constantly enjoying His grace, that I am able to do what I do because of His grace. That He has given me the Shakti, He has given me the intellect, He has given me the skills, whatever I have is all given as gift. If this is, and this understanding is there, then there is a sense of gratitude, there is a sense of devotion, and that's how every action also becomes a reminder. Otherwise we get absorbed in action and then God, and we can't remember Ishvara. But if you have learned to associate every action with Ishvara, by recognizing how an action is possible only by grace of Ishvara, as Swamiji says, every moment we are enjoying His grace. So that way, because Swami, how can you remember Ishvara while doing your work? I'm doing my accounting work. No, I Ram Ram Ram, I cannot say that, because if I say Ram Ram, then I can't do this. So that way remembering is not easy. It's not possible also. It's in the back of my mind that while I'm doing this work, at the back of the mind there is an appreciation that this is being done by His grace. It is being done by the knowledge that He has given me, the skills that He has given me, the opportunity He has given me, that when that understanding goes behind what I do, in that sense Ishvara is remembered. Not remembered as His name, etc., because then it may come in the way of what you are doing. So while doing the cooking, some people do that, you know. All part, everything is done while doing that work. That is okay. If your work does not require attention, then you can do that. If the work is done like that, by the daily routine, then you can perhaps do all your recitals and everything while doing that. But if the work requires your attention, then you cannot do two things, or the mind gets distracted. So remembering Ishvara is remembering His grace, remembering His contribution in my life. How He is constantly present in my life through His contribution, through His grace, through His presence. That requires again a lot of exposure to teaching of Bhagavad Gita also, to understand how Ishvara is involved and is pervading, is woven up in our life. Sarveshu kaleshu arjuna, at all the times, remember me, and yudhyacha, you perform your duties. Mai arpita mano buddhi, by dedicating your mind as well as intellect to me. So dedicate your mind as well as intellect. Use your mind and intellect all the time in dwelling upon me. Use your intellect. Intellect is our means of learning. So use your intellect to learn about me. Our mind is a means of worship. Use your mind to worship me, or to appreciate me, or show your reverence or respect for me. Thus, let your mind and intellect be totally dedicated to me. That is how my remembrance will become possible. And therefore, all the time remember me while performing your duties. Then at the time of death, sadā tad bhava bhāvitaḥ. So, when you are engrossed all the time, then at the time of death will it be possible that the thought of Lord will automatically pop up. Otherwise, at the death, lots of struggle is going on. That time you have no deliberation to think of Ishvara. If you have, that's most wonderful. But most people won't have that. As I said, then the thought, which has been the most predominant thought, will automatically register itself. And so antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. In the time of death, whoever departs remembering me attains me. And that happens when he is remembering me all the time. That happens when you perform our duties as means of antakarana shuddhi, and we study, we apply our mind all the time in thinking about the Lord also, and understanding Him, understanding His presence and role in our life, and that's how the remembrance becomes possible. Okay.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Vadarayanam Sutra Bhashyakrutau Vande Bhagavantau Punah Punah Ishvaro Guru Ratmedi Murti Bheda Vibhagine Vyoma Vadvyapta Dehaya Dakshina Murtaye Namaha Om Shanti Shanti.